Advent is a busy time, and I don't mean all the shopping and other things that go along with our Christmases. I mean, in the church, we cram a lot of things into Advent. Advent is the celebration of the ancient promise of the coming of the Messiah. Advent is the celebration of Christ coming to us this year. Another celebration of Christmas. And Advent is a looking forward to the return of Christ to set all things right. And these themes are found in many of the Christmas carols that we know and love and make this time of year so wonderful. Throughout this series, we're going to be looking at some of these carols and how they can help us to look deeper into the Christmas story and maybe draw a little closer to God as a result of that. I asked you at the beginning of the service if you had a favorite Christmas carol. Well, I could never reduce it down to one, but one of my favorites is O Holy Night. O Holy Night has been a favorite of many since it was written in France 173 years ago. Of course, we know it in its English translation, but whether it's English or French, the one line is the same: a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. What are you hoping for in this weary 2020? What hope would be so wonderful to you that it would give you a thrill? Maybe you can remember a time when hope gave you a thrill. Maybe a time from childhood when you hoped for that new bike that you wrote Santa about. Or maybe it was when you hoped that mom or dad would get home from the war overseas in time for Christmas. What hope do you have this year? If you watch TV and you follow the commercials, it looks like the hope that you're supposed to have is a hope for a new car or truck. No dreams of sugar plums dancing in your head. No, you're supposed to dream of a new vehicle so that your family can wake up on Christmas morning and throw open the doors and see a new Lexus with a red bow on top. Everybody's so thrilled waiting for a Christmas like that. Well, O Holy Night is not about a new car. Let me tell you what it is about, though, and how it came to be. O Holy Night was written by Placide Capot. Capot was a child of 8 years old when he lost his hand. He and his friend were playing with a gun, and an accident happened. The gun went off, and his hand had to be amputated. And that meant that Capot couldn't become a barrel maker like his dad was. He had to take up a different career. The career he took up was as a wine merchant, but he also took up poetry. And he became known as quite a good poet. And although he wasn't much of a churchgoer, the local priest asked if he would write a song to be sung at midnight mass on Christmas Eve that year. And so he agreed to do it. And he sat down and he wrote this wonderful song that we know as O Holy Night. Now in French, the title is Minuit Christian, Midnight Christians. Midnight Christians. And it was written for that midnight mass. And he took those words and he brought them to a friend of his who was a Jewish composer. His name was Adolf Adams. And he set it to music. It was sung there that Christmas Eve. And it quickly became a favorite throughout France. Now, of course, not everybody liked it. The highbrow church music critics thought that its very popularity was a reason to criticize it. One of the critics wrote this: "It might be a good thing to discard this piece whose popularity is becoming unhealthy. It is sung in the streets, social gatherings, and at bars with live entertainment. It becomes debased and degenerate. Oh, how awful, isn't it, that people are singing about Jesus on the streets and in the bars? Some people think it wasn't so much its popularity that caused its critics, but who wrote it? A drunk with leftist politics and a Jew, a non-Christian, combined to write this song. Of course, this isn't the only popular Christmas carol that has been written by a non-Christian. The most recorded Christmas carol of all time, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, was written by the Jew Irving Berlin. And you would think that he would be the least likely of people to write such a lovely Christmas carol because his own infant son died on Christmas Eve. And yet, Irving Berlin, a Jew, wrote a song about Christmas. And really, it's not that surprising that we would have two Jewish composers write some of our favorite Christmas songs. Because Jesus came to fulfill the hope of the ancient Jewish prophecies. Jesus came to fulfill what was written about him in Scripture hundreds of years before that first Christmas Eve. Jesus even talks about how he is fulfilling that ancient Jewish scripture. We hear this in the 12th chapter of Matthew. Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. A large crowd followed him, and he healed all who were ill. He warned them not to tell others about him. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love and whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. He will not hear his voice in the streets. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he has brought justice through to victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope. More than 500 years before the birth of Jesus, the Jewish people expected a Messiah. A Messiah who would come and bring justice and would bring hope. But not only would that hope be for the Jewish people, it would be a hope for the nations, for the whole world. In Romans chapter 15, we hear how even those great prophecies given to the Jewish prophets spoke of the Gentiles, the non-Jews, receiving the Messiah. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God, for I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will rise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I suppose they could have also read, so you may have a thrill of hope. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to fulfill the Jewish hope of a Messiah, the Gentiles' hope of a Savior. He was the long-expected one. But Advent isn't just about some long-ago time when people received a thrill of hope. And neither is the song, O Holy Night. In the English translation that was done by Pastor John Sullivan Dwight, some of the nuances of the French are lost, I think. And when we sing, fall on your knees, O hear the angels' voices, O night divine, O night when Christ was born, it kind of feels like it's something in the different, distant past, way back when Christ was born. It feels like it's something that other people received, that thrill of hope. But the French feels a little more personal to me. And pardon my French. People à genoux attendent ta délivrance. Noël, Noël, voici le Rédempteur. Noël, Noël, voici le Rédempteur. People, kneel down. Await or behold your deliverance. Christmas, Christmas. Here is the Redeemer. Christmas, Christmas. Here is the Redeemer. Christ comes not only back when, but Christ comes here and now as our Redeemer. Behold your deliverance. The thrill of hope that Jesus brings is not just for the Jews and Gentiles of biblical times, but it's for the here and now. Jesus is here for us. He delivers us right now in 2020 from this weary world. He delivers us and sets us free. He redeems us right now. He delivers us right now. He breaks the chains that hold us right now. Because Jesus is not just for those in Bethlehem on that night when Christ was born. But he is also our hope. And that hope sends a thrill through us when we know that we have a hope for a better life, that we have a hope for something beyond 2020, that we have a hope for eternal life. Christ is the hope of yesterday and today and tomorrow too. That's why Advent is such a busy time. It has so much packed into it. Because we celebrate that Christ has come that first holy night. And we celebrate that Christ comes even here, even to us. And we celebrate that Christ will come again to raise the dead, to set all things right, to make all things new. 1 Thessalonians 4 talks about that. Brothers and sisters, we don't want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. The old communion prayer says, Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. There is never a time when Christ is not our hope. Never a time when he is not at work. There's an old preacher's joke about a kid in Sunday school, and the teacher had asked them to try to guess what she was thinking about. And the teacher described it this way. It has a long bushy tail, and it climbs trees, and it eats acorns. And one little student raised her hand and said, well, it sounds like a squirrel, but since this is church, the answer must be Jesus. Well, no, the answer wasn't Jesus to the teacher's question, but But the answer to who is our hope is Jesus. It was Jesus 2,000 years ago. It's Jesus in 2020. And it'll be Jesus every year until he returns. A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.